And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet. The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I've got a great show for you today because I'm talking about the real estate bubble and the fact that home sales have significantly slowed down, which is making a lot of homeowners in California a little bit nervous. Plus, we're going to talk about the mass exodus and migration out of our state into states that don't have a state income tax, because after all, wouldn't that be dreamy? And of course, we're going to highlight one of the greatest nonprofit organizations in the area because of their incredible work with kids. Now, before I get to all of that, I want to talk with you about the single most important new policy to hit law enforcement in Sacramento, and that's the new foot pursuit policy, which I'm sure many of you don't like or agree with. Now, what's really funny about this topic is that approximately 5 months ago, I did a segment on Stephon Clark, that 22-year-old African-American young man who was shot 7 times by those 2 police officers pursuing him on foot. Of course, you remember what happened on that fateful night of March 18th, because that's the night that Stephon Clark was chased in the dark and ultimately killed in his grandmother's backyard because 2 police officers mistakenly thought that the dude had a gun in his hand. Well, as most of these unfortunate cases go, the gun turned out to be a cell phone, which means Sacramento is going to dish out at least $3 to $5 million to settle this awful lawsuit. Now, if you heard that segment 5 months ago, then you heard me go on the record and say that I want new policies put in place where police officers are prohibited from chasing misdemeanor suspects in the dark because too many unarmed black young suspects are being gunned down by mistake, which is understandable because it's dark outside. And unless you're Superman with a hot body and some superhuman powers, you can't see that well in the dark, so a cell phone can easily be mistaken for a gun. Now, don't get me wrong. I want our police officers to GOYA and chase down and apprehend as many criminals as is humanly possible when it's safe. However, I don't want any more criminal suspects killed after committing a misdemeanor, regardless if they run from police or anyone else. But for some reason, America law enforcement, you see, it likes the old West. And as a result, loves to pursue criminals on foot because that's how it's always been done. I mean, all you gotta do is look at the police movies and TV shows you've seen over the past 5 decades. Because in almost every single police movie or TV show, there's hundreds of exciting and active foot pursuits where the bad guys usually get caught or shot. But what you have to remember is this. You see, that's Hollywood, man, and it's not real life. So the actor who's getting shot and killed on TV, you see, that dude gets to go home to his family, while the predominantly African-American kids who get shot on the street for running from law enforcement after committing a misdemeanor, you know where they go? They go straight to the morgue. Which is real life stuff, right? In fact, did you know that 640 people have already been shot and killed by the police in 2018? Which is absolutely unbelievable to me, especially in an age of drones and massive technology. Now, of course, you and I don't know all of the facts surrounding these 640 police killings, but what we do know is this. Number one, someone is dead. Number two, someone is gonna get sued. And number three, you're going to pay for all of the bills. Yep. What you need to know is that every single time an unarmed criminal suspect is shot dead, lives are ruined, lawsuits are filed, and you, the superhero taxpayer, you end up getting screwed and you pay all of the bills. So when is enough enough? Because last year alone, you, the superhero taxpayer, spent over $1 billion dealing with the aftermath of all of these police shootings. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a mathematician to see that foot pursuits, especially in the dark, they lead to deaths, which lead to lawsuits, which lead to you paying more in taxes. I mean, look at what they're doing in Detroit. You see, out there, the cost of police shootings have gotten so out of control that homeowners are now having to pay additional property tax assessments to cover the charges. I mean, can you imagine if Gavin Newsom was elected? Oh, God, please help us. Don't let that happen. And he decided that you, as a homeowner, are going to have to pay another $1,000 a year on your home just to cover all of these costs. Because you know what? That doesn't sound very sexy to me, and I'm sure it doesn't sound very sexy to you. And then when you consider that all of these police shootings, they cause serious mistrust between an already fragile community and law enforcement. It's a disaster, right? And it's something that has got to change. I mean, all you got to do is look at all of the riots, protests, marches, and demonstrations that come after a young African-American man is shot and killed running from the police, usually after committing a misdemeanor. It's so out of control that if you don't believe me, why don't you call our elected official, Sacramento prosecutor, Anne Marie Schubert, and ask her how much she likes the riots and the protests and the demonstrations and the marches. Because you know what? They're disruptive, they're expensive, and they're dividing our great state. But you know what? With this new foot policy, police officers need to weigh their own safety, the safety of the public, and the importance of apprehending the suspect before chasing a criminal suspect. Now, I realize that many of you don't like this new foot pursuit policy because it goes against everything that you and I have ever known about law enforcement in general, right? I mean, for generations, all that you and I have known is that cops chase the bad guys on foot, in cars, and in helicopters until they catch them or shoot them. Well, you know what? It's a new time. It's a new decade, and now we've got Apple, Google, and Amazon controlling your world, which is why I believe it's time to go 100% high tech. Meaning, I don't ever want a cop chasing bad guys again. Instead, I want all of our amazing law enforcement officials to have their very own small personal drones that they can dispatch on all fleeing suspects. Because you know what? If we use technology, like all the criminals are using technology, we are going to be able to win the fight against crime and start apprehending criminals without dangerous foot pursuits. First of all, the drone would be able to follow the criminal suspects from above, and the police officers can secure the premises and call for backup. Believe me, that criminal suspect, even though he's going to keep, believe me, that criminal suspect is going to eventually stop and get caught. Plus, the drones are going to be able to zoom in on the suspect in the dark and see if they've got a gun. Now, of course, I want to still use helicopters to chase the bad guys, but I want police to be armed with technology. Armosa can record meetings in the White House without anyone knowing. Don't you think we can give our cops drones? I mean, if our awful governor doesn't care about apprehending criminals who commit misdemeanors, then why should the police? Because if you live in California and you're a criminal, you hit the lottery. After all, because of Prop 47, Jerry Brown's failed reduced penalty and crime initiative, Criminals who commit misdemeanors, they may never see the inside of a jail cell regardless of what they've done. Now, I realize with this new foot pursuit policy in place that cops still have to identify themselves as a police officer and turn their body camera on. But by having this new policy, we are going to save $1 billion. We're going to stop shooting people in the dark. Police are going to be able to go home to their loved ones. And you and I are going to be able to live happily ever after. All right, everybody, I've got to take a break. But when we come back, I'm bringing on the world's greatest real estate expert, and that is Renee Nielsen. And she and I are going to talk with you about this interesting change in our real estate market, because I'm telling you, there is a slowdown. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by Renee Nielsen, the real estate expert for the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I love this segment because I get to interview the greatest real estate expert in the United States of America, and that is you, Renee Nielsen. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, and my gosh, the longer I think I've been on this show, a little over a year now, and my titles get better and better. Thank you.
Come on, Renee, you know you're my favorite, and I'm saying it right now for the whole world to hear.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, Renee, so you and I love to start our interviews off with a market update, because based on my research, Renee, I'm seeing a little bit of a slowdown, so I would love a market update from you.
Well, Ronnie, your research is pretty on target. And I just want to talk a little bit before we talk about how the market is. The second, I want to talk about the things that affect the market first. And one, always time of year, right? People are going back to school. The summer season's kind of winding down a little bit. Of course, home pricing and affordability, that's a huge issue. You know, how much, you know, percentage of people's income do they want to spend on a home? Job security is another one, and we've kind of been looking at that in the last couple months because there's been some job fluctuations as things are being evaluated, on how things are being, you know, where tariffs are and taxes and different things that affects different people's industries, and I'm sure that'll mellow out over time, but there are some unknown, you know, job security factors, and also my own personal opinion is interest rates have really helped, really helped change things in the last, 4 to 6 weeks. And what I'm talking about is there's been like a strong labor market. There's been a robust economy. And so inflation's coming up a bit. So potentially the lenders are saying that there are possibly two more rate hikes this year. Last year, interest rates were as low as in the threes. This year, we're in the mid-fours right now. So when interest rates are a little bit higher, then you know, there's less home for the same amount of money that people can afford. So the median home price in California right now is pretty big. It's over $500,000. It's in about $602,000 is the median home price for California. So you got to have two and three jobs, four jobs in a household if you're making average wages. Now, there's a lot of tech industry people and people have these amazing jobs, you know, and it's not pushing, you know, on their budget so much, but that's a lot of money.
And so, Renee, you've given us a lot of important information. And one of the points that I want to hone in on is that median house price, because what I'm seeing, Renee, homes that are priced between 300 to 600,000, they seem like they're moving. But what concerns me, Renee, are those jumbo homes, so to speak. So can you talk about homes that are priced above 600,000 in the Sacramento region and how much longer it's taking to sell those homes on average, of course?
In history, in real estate in general, the homes that are $600,000, $800,000, $1 million, those typically don't fly off the market. It's just when there's a hot, crazy environment of real estate transactions going on, you know, you're going to see those come off the market in 1, 2, 8, 12 days. But just to get a seller's mindset the right way, like in historical perspective, that's not as normal. But on those bigger homes, you're not going to have movement as quick. There's just less buyers. And the reason is less people have the income to support, you know, a higher price. So if you have put your home together and you're marketing it well and you're doing everything correctly, the environmental factors are also going to affect your home. So what does your neighbor's house look like? What is the house? How close is the house behind you? That's always an issue. Did the people leave their garage door open and it's stuffed from floor to ceiling with boxes and crazy stuff and you're giving an open house next door? I mean, how are, you know, all of this different things about your home and people's perception of your home are going to affect it. So if you're interested in buying or selling your home, please give me a call at 833-697-3832, 833-697-3832, and I'd be happy to continue this discussion with you.
Now, for those of you just joining us, you may want to roll your window down and scream hallelujah, because I'm talking with our radio show's real estate expert, and that is Renee Nielsen. Renee, I realize that based on the time of year, home sales, you know, they may slow down. However, can you give some great advice or tips on what homeowners need to do if they do want to sell their house during a slower period of time, like the fall or the winter months?
Well, Ronnie, the main thing about selling your home, no matter what time of year, and especially when we're going into a slower season and you're going to have less buyers with eyeballs out looking for properties, and the thing that is going to cost you the least amount of money is cleaning your home. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into homes where people just put their stuff away, or they would have, you know, washed off their patios and made it feel inviting, that my clients would have loved that home. But it's hard, but it's the feeling that people walk into when they're walking into your home. That's what you're selling. So you're marketing that. I mean, it's great about the square footage, and you can do the numbers all day long, and you can talk about the great schools and a million different things. But if somebody walks into a home and they don't feel good, that home's going to drop off their list. So that is probably the best advice that I could give someone, is make it feel fresh and welcoming, like a family would want to live there. And it's a lot of work to get your home in shape, but it's well worth it. The money follows. If you want more information on how to prep your home, I'm happy to walk it with you, tell you what to put away, tell you what to keep out, all of those things. My number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832.
Now, Renee, as you and I know, it seems like in the fall and winter months, sellers are reducing the price of their homes, of course, to make it more attractive and sexy. What are your thoughts about reducing the price of a home that is for sale? Because obviously, Renee, you've listed a ton of properties. You've probably had to reduce homes as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Ronnie, if you don't have buyers coming through your door and you've completely marketed the property in every location online, you know, you've got the word out and you know, a ton of different ways, and you still don't have the right buyer, then it might be a price issue. So you've got to consider that, and you've got to keep your mind open. Really, what you want to do is create value for somebody, for a buyer. A buyer wants to see value. They want to feel good about their choices. When there's not enough homes on the market, your home's more valuable. When there's too many homes on the market, it's less valuable. You have a bad neighbor next door, your home's less valuable. You know, you see what I mean. So really, you've got to create value. And if you've already done a million things, then a price drop shouldn't be out of the question.
And Renee, as you and I know, there are a lot of homeowners out there that are looking for rentals. What are your thoughts on buying rental properties? Because let's face it, it is such a hot market for rentals.
Ronnie, it's an amazing opportunity when you own a rental property. Absolutely. What you want to do is make sure you're evaluating the right numbers as a buyer. Buying rental properties, you definitely want to understand all the costs with the property, whether you're coming in with cash or a mortgage, you know, figure in, you know, the cost of those numbers plus the cost to hold the property and then the cost to, you know, have somebody oversee it. So I definitely recommend somebody who's going to watch the property for you. They take about 10% to do that, but you'll have a property manager and it helps keep your property in good shape. So it's really all about running the numbers. And so it's very individual to the property and to the buyer. If you're interested in rental properties or buying or selling your own personal residence, I've been in real estate for many, many years, done many, many transactions, and love working with my clients and finding them just the right place. My number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832.
All right, Renee, I thank you so much for your time. Okay, everybody, I got to take a break, but I need you to stick around because I'm talking about the 8th state in the United States who just threw out state income tax. Yeah, that's right. Even though you're being taxed to death, there are other states that are a lot more generous. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this.
The following segment on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by OIC Tax Services at 800-695-3010.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I am so excited to have our tax man, Bob, in studio because we're talking about you and the fact that you, as a Californian, you are getting so screwed by the income tax you pay. Good morning, Bob, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Bob, I am fascinated by the fact that right now we got 7 states in the country that do not charge their citizens state income tax, and we're going to add an 8th. Can you talk about these states and welcome the next state to join this wonderful list?
Well, yes, I can, Ronnie. Let me bring in my list here. We've got the wonderful state of Alaska, the wonderful state of Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, Wyoming, and of course, in 2021, the beautiful state of Tennessee will also join this crowd.
And so, Bob, you and I know that Florida's a pretty awesome place. Love to surf there. Nevada is so cool for partying. I don't want to live in Tennessee, but you know what? I don't want you as a Californian to have to pay such high rates. What are they, Bob? Can you dumb down for us the difference between someone living here and someone living there?
Well, yes, we can take a look. Of course, if you want to compare us to Alaska, of course we could. But let's talk about California. 7.25% sales tax is the highest in the country. Our income tax at 13.3 is also the highest in the country. This is probably why it's so expensive to live in the state of California.
And Bob, you and I know we've got an election coming up. You've been giving us great advice on what not to vote for. What happens if, God forbid, Gavin Newsom is elected? Can you scare us this morning? Because I've heard some nasty tax rumors.
Well, yes, I can, Ronnie. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, he's the front runner to replace Governor Brown. And he says it's time for a significant tax code update. And this is a quote from him. "We can broaden the sales tax base," Newsom said. "We can actually tax the economy that exists today, not the economy of 100 years ago, which is our current tax structure." Newsom and all the Democratic candidates are willing to rethink Proposition 13.
Bob, just saying that sends the worst chills up my spine. What will our state look like if that is overhauled?
Well, let me bring everybody up to speed here because Proposition 13 became law in 1978. 2/3 of the voters in California passed Proposition 13, reducing property tax rates on homes, businesses, and farms by 57%. Prior to the enactment of Proposition 13, property tax rates through California averaged a little bit more of 3% of the market value. Now, we repeal Proposition 13, everything is going to go through the roof because property taxes are going to go higher. It's going to be difficult for people that own rental property to rent to people right now who can't find a home in California at all. So here we've got somebody proposing that we raise our property taxes. And think about these big companies, Disneyland, for instance, or Universal that are on under Proposition 13. They're going to go through the roof, Ronnie. This is not good. Not good. Listen, if you have questions about the IRS or new tax rates or anything, please call me at the office at 1-800-695-3010 or go to oictaxservices.com. Drop me a message there.
Now, Bob, you and I are talking about the possibility that if Gavin Newsom is elected, all hell is going to break loose as it relates to taxes in California. Again, can you elaborate on the trickle-down effect, Bob, if he messes with Prop 13?
Well, as I alluded to a little while ago, the trickle-down effect is going to trickle down to renters. It's going to trickle down to employers. It's going to trickle down to the average person working in the state of California. Yes, the taxes are going to go up. I don't see anywhere by any Democratic candidate where they are proposing less California government, less taxes. This all circles around raising our taxes, increasing revenue for the state of California to do what? I don't know.
And so, Bob, when you and I talk about raising taxes, do you think the sales tax could creep up? Do you think the individual income tax can go even higher? Where do you see this awful thing ending?
Well, as we know, Robert Hertzberg has already got a bill in front of the California legislature and, of course, in front of the taxpayers to be voted on. That is Proposition 993, where he wants to raise 3% of sales tax for service-based industries. So this is just another little, a little nick in the shield of the state of California taxpayers who are going to be nickel and dimed every day. And it is a trickle down. It's going to trickle down right to somebody moving out of state.
Bob, I'm glad you brought up the mass exodus. You and I have talked about our tax base. And remember all those states that we talked about earlier? They sure sound sexy.
Yes,
when you're getting screwed in California. So can you talk about that point, Bob?
Yes, I can. Let's take a look at Alaska. Alaska is fantastic. It is the most tax-friendly place to live in the United States. The only downside living in Alaska, it's cold. And medical care is hard to get unless you live in a populated area. But really, you have no personal income tax in the state. And retirees can actually escape having any retirement income tax or Social Security benefits touched by the state of Alaska. That is very sexy. That's a great place to live if you can handle the cold. Well, and let's go to my favorite place, which I love, Florida. I just love the state of Florida. I love the golf courses, love the sunny beaches. But I also like the fact that they have no personal taxes there. Also, retirees' retirements are also protected in the state of Florida. So let's put everything together. Great golf courses, no personal income tax, nice sunny beaches. And we've got a few crocodiles and alligators got to deal with. That's about it.
Wait, but Bob, that's why OJ lives there. They can't get his retirement.
Does he? I had no idea.
Yeah, man.
They let him in there and stay there. All right.
Okay, so Bob, I now want to turn our attention to a major issue, and that is, what is going on for the victims of the wildfires and the high winds that began back on, July 23rd? Because you know what? The IRS is doing something great. You and I rarely talk good about them. Can you talk about the relief these taxpayers are going to get?
Yes, they are getting quite a bit of relief from the IRS, of course. For businesses have burned down, of course, they're not paying their payroll taxes. They're not making their tax deposits. They can't do that. You've got people that have lost everything. So the IRS is giving them extensions on filing their tax returns coming up here in 2018, which is fantastic. Now, I haven't heard anything about great tax breaks coming for people in those areas. Let's hope that that's coming down. But aside from taking care of these people in these disaster areas, giving them a break on the businesses that cannot and do not have any employees there anymore. Plus, you've got your taxes coming due here. They all need to have big extensions, and they're going to get big extensions. They're still going to have to pay their taxes, though, Ronnie. But you're getting a nice extension on it. Listen, if you have any questions about income tax or state taxes or anything at all, please contact me at oictaxservices.com. We can communicate directly through the website. Or if you'd like to talk to me directly, 1-800-695-3010.
Now, Bob, you and I know that there are so many scams out there as well as awful tax preparers. Can you talk about how important it is to hire a company like yours, OIC Tax Service, as it relates to tax returns? Because after all, the IRS is now arresting taxpayers with this exact problem.
Yes, I can, Ronnie. As a matter of fact, I had a phone call today from a client all the way across country. His wife and his daughter had lost their tax refunds, and they still have not been able to recoup them. Kind of looks like the tax preparer used their own bank account to route their tax refunds to. So yes, when you are shopping for a great tax preparer, make sure that you question them. You want to look at their record. You want to make sure that they are competent. Call me at 1-800-695-3010. If you have any questions about tax preparation, we can guide you through this. And don't be afraid to ask questions. A lot of people don't want to talk to their professional about their tax issue. You go to the doctor, you ask him questions. You go to your mechanic, you ask them questions. You sit at the tax preparer's desk and you don't say a word.
And guess what? When you get home, you don't say a word to your wife either.
You don't want to say a word. All right, I want everybody to remember, extensions are coming due here for businesses September the 15th. So those corporations out there, you got to get those tax returns in. The personal taxes aren't due till October 15th, but don't delay. This is right around the corner.
Bob, taxpayers are procrastinators, man. You and I know that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Bob, I love you so much, and I thank you for another wonderful interview. All right, everybody, I've got to take a break, but as you can hear, I'm fired up. Because I'm bringing in Rocky and Natalie from the Auburn Hip Hop Congress. And we're going to talk about this amazing charity that is dedicated to helping your kids succeed. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Ronnie Deutsch. We'll be back with more right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by the Auburn Hip Hop Congress, which is the official charity of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and the surf is so big today because I have two of my favorite people in studio, and that is Natalie and Rocky Zapata. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ronnie.
And the reason why we are doing this interview is simple, and that is because you are some of the greatest people in our community because you run the Auburn Hip Hop Congress and you kick butt as it relates to kids. So, Rocky, let's start with you and let's talk about the peace camp that I just went to and how much fun it was and all the great things that those kids got to do.
Well, Ronnie, we just got done with such an amazing year of camp. We had 160 kids this year. It was unbelievable. The place was filled.
Rocky, I think there could be 160,000 kids, man. That thing was so fun.
Oh, man, Ronnie, I think that would take all year, but we could talk about that, you know. We really got a lot done with the kids. I was upstairs most of the time with the junior high media arts crew. We really just brought so much new information to them and really brought them together. You know, throughout the week, the kids were learning how to write songs. We all wrote a song, 35 kids on one track. Everybody just wrote a little piece. They were learning how to make beats right there. Raza was recording with them. And then we had one of our other youngsters, Danny, he was doing video editing, teaching them all about how to edit, getting them hands-on, you know, information, teaching them young and giving them that access.
And Rocky, let's be honest, not one of those kids has access to recording studios, to taping, to filming, and you are teaching these young kids all of those things. What other things did you teach them at Peace Camp?
I got to do GPC TV, where we're taking kids around and teaching them about being a little news crew. So they were learning how to be reporters. They were learning about communication, how to their body language, how they talk and their tone, how to listen actively, those kind of things. But they were also just, you know, jumping in and getting involved and doing something they were excited about. They were getting to interview people that were at camp, teaching classes or volunteering, or some of the other kids that were participants. You know, they were out there learning how to ask questions and engaging other people. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, Rocky, is that none of these children learn that in school today, which is why your camp is extraordinary. Now, Natalie, I love what you do for kids. You know how much I love kids, Natalie. So can you talk about some of the amazing programs that you ran at Peace Camp? Because all of those kids were thrilled, were happy, and their parents were blown away.
Well, I actually had the opportunity to run the whole entire camp, so I didn't have just one location I was in charge of, but I also got the opportunity to roam around and make sure everything was moving, you know, in harmonious ways, and it was just amazing to see kids learning in these organic situations. So you go in one room and you have five kids video editing. You go in one room, you have kids cooking, and there's actually a high school student teaching them the cooking. And it really just reminds me of what school should look like.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought up what school should look like, because today, Natalie, what school is comprised of is budget cuts and bullying, which I love the fact that you teach your kids not to bully. Can you also talk about some of those important, huge messages that you are teaching those kids, because your themes are huge.
Well, it's really fortunate that we hold camp right before we go back to school, because we are teaching the kids how to make friends. You're not taught that in school. So how to go up to someone and say, hi, my name is Natalie, or, you know, reach out to the kid who's maybe sitting alone. And, you know, we tend to have friends in our proximity. So our neighbor's our friend, our parents' child's our friend. And this way, it's like, if you reach out, you might find someone who's super into the same things you're into. And so that's the biggest, if you could have one theme of Peace Camp and one theme to take with you out into the world, into the schools, it's how to make friends and how to reach out to people in positive ways.
Natalie, we could sure use all of those lessons at the White House, right? Our political system is so screwed up. I want to talk with you about that theme of love, of togetherness, of this unity that I felt while I was there.
I try to promote that in my life and, you know, teach young people and to find that peace within, because life is short. I mean, it's short. There's a lot of demands on you, so you might as well love one another.
And so let's talk about the educational component. I know you're big on that, Natalie. So can you talk about how your program assists your kids and how it relates to education?
So our goal is to take those very same things we're seeing at Peace Camp, and we incorporate them into all of our programs. We have tons of school year programs. We do a writing class at the library. It's free for teens and young adults. We're in the elementary schools teaching drama, teaching game strategies, teaching forensic science. I mean, you name it. We're really trying to take those same concepts that we're doing at Peace Camp into the school year. And this year, education is our major focus. And so we'll be creating our own educational environments while simultaneously learning about the public school system. We'll be at the school board meetings. We'll be looking for gaps in the education system and how that we can come in and maybe help fill those.
Oh my gosh, Natalie and Rocky, gaps? Those gaps are as wide as from here to New York City. Rocky, what are your thoughts on those educational gaps? What are your thoughts on the programs that you offer at the Auburn Hip Hop Congress to help those kids? Because let's face it, we've got a screwed up educational system, and it starts with our awful politicians in Sacramento.
For me, a lot of it is that I didn't always feel like I fit in into the mainstream school settings. And, you know, because of that, I found myself getting into trouble a lot. I found myself in the system at a young age, and it really opened my eyes up to, you know, how many kids go through this and how many kids feel this way. They may not, you know, feel like the way they're being taught really reaches them. But when we work with them, we get to see how articulate they really are. We get to see how deep of thinkers they are. And a lot of them just want a way to express themselves. And that's where we come in with a lot of our programs. You know, we are doing something really special, but in another sense, you know, we're not doing anything that's that far in the unknown. You know, we're basically creating platforms for young people to be able to express themselves. We're giving them more opportunities to be a part of their community. You can definitely go to our website. It's auburnhiphopcongress.strikingly.com. Or you can contact us directly. My number is 530-368-3526. That's 530-368-3526.
So Natalie, can you tell us what are some of the programs that are upcoming for the Auburn Hip Hop Congress in the fall and winter months?
We're just getting started. We're in the elementary schools doing character education, doing, like I said, the enrichment and the arts. We are in the juvenile hall doing the Urban Arts for Change program, where we bring in people, powerful speakers, telling their stories of overcoming. We have our writing and reciting class at the Auburn Library. This is for teens and young adults. And then we have several different events that we're doing, one in particular called the Be the Change Youth Summit. And this is for high school students, and it's really to get them excited about voting.
Natalie, that is exactly what I was thinking. The fact that you are teaching these kids the importance of using their voice, can you imagine the change it will lead to? Now, Rocky, you wanted to elaborate on the juvenile hall program?
Yeah, I would love to. We got a lot coming up this year. We've been in the juvenile hall for almost 2 years now, I'd say a year and a half. And, you know, we're really getting to see what's effective and what's reaching these kids, and really help think of ways that we can build them up and connect them like we connect everyone else to their community. With saying that, you know, we offer them mentoring and opportunities to do service and to get support, whether it's school or jobs or whatever, when they get out. And we've learned, you know, one of our greatest needs right now is having the ability to record them in a safe space. So we're really hoping to be able to open a recording studio in downtown Auburn where these kids can get the experience. They can maybe intern. They can get the opportunity and access to things that they really want to do already. But we would be able to provide them with real experts in the field and, you know, a place where they can be safe and learn. And if you would like to find out more about that or how you can support us achieving this vision, contact me directly. My number is 530-368-3526. That's 530-368-3526.
Natalie, I want to make sure that our audience knows exactly where to go to get involved with your amazing organization, the Auburn Hip Hop Congress.
So the best way to directly contact us, we're very active on Facebook. All you have to do is look up Auburn Hip Hop Congress and you can send us a message, give us a like.
And be sure to check out our Auburn Hip Hop Congress YouTube page. It's Auburn Hip Hop, or you could just type in Auburn Hip Hop Congress into the search bar and it'll take you right there. We have a lot of amazing videos of our youth doing music, but we also have a playlist for Growing Peace Camp. So for those of you that were hearing about Peace Camp and want to learn more and see it, check out our YouTube page.
Natalie and Rocky, I cannot thank you enough for another great interview. And I thank you so much for teaching our youth all about respect. And now in honor of that R-E-S-P-E-C-T, I'm going to play you a little Aretha Franklin. All right, everybody, I'm out of time. I thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for liking us at Ronnie Deutsch Radio. And have a wonderful week. See you next weekend on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.